Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. It's November 5th, 2025. We've got a nice little show planned for you today. At 3 o'clock, former Redskins excellent tight end Jordan Reed stops by for a check-in on the show. And at 4 o'clock, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we're giving away tickets to see Foo Fighters when they come to D.C. Danny, what's up?
What's good, dude? We are not quite 24 hours removed from the trade deadline, which for Washington, I guess, was just another afternoon. I've been sitting there stewing, like Stewie Griffin. I can't believe they didn't do anything to anybody at all. I can't believe no one was traded. The only thing is they're going to change where Joe Witt stands. That's it. That's the difference after one of the worst stretches in recent league history. Unbelievable.
They're at practice today, and they're playing Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, good.
As they take the practice field, trying to avoid what would be a fifth consecutive loss and a 3-7 record on the season. Got all kinds of Commanders conversation to have today, including that discussion on not making any trades coming up after we talk to Jordan Reed to kick off the 3 o'clock hour. I actually want to start with some good Commanders news, though, because with the Lions coming to town, all hands need to be on deck. And one of their leaders on defense, their heart and soul glue guys, is Frankie Louvu. And Frankie Louvu was supposed to have been suspended and was supposed to have missed this game against Detroit. And we found out last evening after the close of business that his appeal actually worked out in the team's favor. This is a very, very rare break for Washington.
How about that?
This year with man games missed. And this is an even more rare win for the Commanders.
Can they appeal a couple scores while they're at it?
Let's start appealing touchdowns for the opponent. One of those Torrey Horton scores, maybe.
That's too open.
Frankie Louvu back as if he had ever left. He will play on Sunday. Now he is getting fined $100,000. I said this on the show yesterday. I know this comes off if someone listens on the Odyssey app from a different market, like I'm being a homer. And I promise you I will be consistent on this with players from any team in any market. I hate the idea of suspending guys for tackling players on defense. And if it's a flow of the game, non-dirty tackle, even a violent tackle like the hip drop tackle they're trying to get out of the game, and if you want to flag a guy for that, do it. And if you want to fine a player for that, have at it. 100K, that's a lot. I feel bad for Frankie Louvu. Fine him. That's how you get rid of it if you want to get the hip drop tackle out of the game. But for a guy that in this town was getting beat up for a couple weeks at the start of the year for not wrapping, not getting guys on the ground, missing a team high at one point, I think through a few weeks, maybe one of the highest missed tackle rates in the league at linebacker, who's now started wrapping and getting guys on the ground, and now he's getting suspended for it. I just hate suspending players for tackles at a position where it's already impossible to play defense. So I think the league got this right. Now, look, if he goes out and he hip-drop tackles somebody this weekend, you're probably suspended again and you don't win the next appeal.
Right.
But I'm glad that he's not the first guy, to my knowledge, to ever miss a game for hip drop tackles.
Yeah, I mean, my frustration with it, again, I pointed this out, and I did a bunch of research. I spent way too long yesterday, evening, this morning, trying to find a single fine for Jaden Daniels' hip drop tackles. That came out wrong. Where players have hip drop tackled Jaden Daniels, who's now hurt as a result of a tackle that, by definition, looks like that. And there haven't been any. There have been no fines to Kingsley Engbare for the Green Bay Packers who got him, whatever it was, week two, this past week, of course, against Seattle. And I think there's another one in there, too, that absolutely, by letter of the law, were more egregious to me than the one that Frankie Louvu just got suspended then unsuspended for. I care about that a great deal. This is my whole thing about our society. Whatever the rule is, if we're calling balls and strikes, we can adjust the strike zone if need be. But if we have a rule in place and I got guys getting fined, I got guys getting suspended, then let's do that. If we think that's dumb, let's not do that. But I need uniformity. And that's what I find most frustrating about it. There's nary a word from the league on it. But for whatever reason, they've decided Frankie Louvu is such an egregious offender that he's being fined way more than anybody else. He's been suspended, again, on appeal unsuspended. But that is way more punitive, way more punishing than what anybody else has had to deal with when I've seen it elsewhere.
Louvu's a fitting starting point for the conversation I want to kick off the show with today, though, because there has been a semi-natural regression for him in year two, a year older. The impact he's had at the second level has not quite been the same as 1 year ago. And the discussion I want to have is about things that we got most wrong coming into this year. Because it stands out to me, Danny, we can just keep it local to our own show and speak for ourselves here, mm-hmm. whether it's you or I directly. But I think most people thought the Commanders would be a lot better than they've been. I think a lot of people had them as a double-digit win playoff team. And a big reason why they're not going to be able to accomplish most of their goals this season is clearly that they're decimated by injuries. But if we just chalk it up to that and don't do a whole lot more investigating or contextualizing, we're missing the mark, to quote Dan Quinn. We'd be missing it. So I don't want to do that. I want to look at the things we got most wrong. Take injuries out of the equation. Frankly, we got that right because I think a lot of us were saying they were so lucky last year. Yep. There's no way that's going to happen for a second straight season.
You know where this super old roster is going to be uninjured again.
But I'll give you an example, and eventually we'll open up the phones on this with what you guys were the most wrong about going into the season for the Commanders. At 800-636-1067. Here's what I want to go with. The thing that I think I got most wrong this year so far was that I was convinced their cornerback room was going to be significantly better than it was last year. And I go through the personnel group here one by one, having been out at training camp, been out at practices, saw the corners winning. They were playing way more man coverage. That was a talking point of Dan Quinn and of Joe Witt throughout camp, that they liked their corners better, and so they were going to have them play more man coverage. And at practice, Washington's receivers were getting got. Now you fast forward post Terry McLaurin to right now, and you're seeing that it was a lot of K.J. Osborne and Chris Moore, and you know one of the guys that was routing them up was Jalen Lane, who actually hasn't had it transition to the season, but Luke McCaffrey wasn't getting open. And it might have said more about Washington's receivers in the corners, a question we asked a few times, even back in the summer. But my argument for the corners being a lot better, which I thought was sound at the time, was Lattimore's not going to be as bad as he was last year. That didn't work out. Trey Amos is going to be a stellar rookie. I think that one is true. Mm-hmm. I think he's been really good. Not high impact, not game-changing or big-time plays, but I think he's been very solid.
Good, solid player, yeah.
Looks like a win in the second round. I was convinced that Mikey Sanristil was going to have a terrific season. He was coming off of a rookie year where I thought he was one of the true rising stars in any secondary in the NFL. He has probably taken as big a step backwards as anybody on the team, and I don't like saying that because I love Mikey. I think he's a great leader and a good young player and locker room presence. And then even down the depth chart, they bring in Jonathan Jones. That's a veteran quality deep reserve on your depth chart, the likes of which you didn't have much of last year. That was Michael Davis, who couldn't play in the league, basically. And now you've got Jones, who comes over from New England. I haven't even mentioned Noah Igbinoghene yet, who was a top three guy most games for them, playing a ton last year, who was slotted all the way down at fifth on the depth chart. And that was kind of my evidence of, wait a second, this guy had to play a bunch of snaps, and now he's fifth. They're way better at corner. I thought it was not only going to be an improved room, but like a league average or maybe a hair better corner room where they were without liabilities. And I couldn't have been more wrong. That is an area where looking at this season and predicting that they could go 10-7 and be a wild card team, to quote Dan Quinn, I missed it.
That's a good one. I have a million things I could pick on or pick out here because I was wrong about a ton. I mean, I didn't have him as high as some folks, but I thought, for example, Frankie Louvu was going to be gangbusters. The guy that we're talking about to start the show. I thought he's unleashed, didn't have to worry about coverage anymore, doesn't have to have run fits. He's going to rush the passer and put up double-digit sacks. Ugh, hadn't really had that impact at all. But there's a million things I could pick. Here's my generally. The offense. I thought that with mediocre personnel last year, with a guy that probably is a guard playing left tackle, with a bunch of leftovers, with a bunch of Jamison Crowder, Olamide Zaccheaus, Frankenstein second receivers, Noah Brown, a training camp cut, with nothing other than Terry McLaurin, Austin Ekeler, you know, two-thirds of the time, and Zach Ertz, who lacks any kind of explosion, anything other than catch and fall. This offense was excellent last year. Excellent. I thought, you know, even with slightly upgraded personnel, now I didn't know Austin Ekeler would go out, you know, as early as he did, but with slightly upgraded personnel and Deebo Samuel, this offense, regardless, would always be capable. They would always find a way to keep the team in the game. So overall, their numbers aren't terrible. They're 13th in the league in yards per play. But if you watched the last month, you know. They can't get to 300 total yards as a team. They can't run the ball. They can't really throw it. There's no threat. There's nothing explosive. There's nothing down the field. There's nothing that defenses have to worry about at any point in time, and they are feasting. They're having a grand old time playing against Washington. I am stunned by that, quite frankly. I thought the Cliff Kingsbury, I thought this group with what I thought would be an improved offensive line would always have an answer, even if it wasn't greatest show on turf stuff with Jaden healthy and McLaurin and all those guys. I understand the injuries have happened. I just can't believe there's nothing dynamic at all happening with this offense, and I'm stunned by that.
So the one I came up with when I looked for something I got most wrong on offense actually is a Terry McLaurin take, which is that I assumed McLaurin would have a McLaurin season, even as the issues dragged on in the offseason. I did not think he would hold out and then hold in the way that he did, and I didn't think the hold in was go as long as it did. But then when it did, and we talked about it every day on the show ad nauseum, I did not think that the hold-in would lead to the worst-case scenario season that it seems to have. And look, there's no true way to know that the year he's having is based on his offseason. But it certainly seems like it may have been a factor. And I remember thinking when he finally reported with a couple of weeks before the season, he'll probably get off to a slower start for a game or two, but in my wildest expectations, I didn't think we'd fast forward 10 weeks in and he's going to miss more time than he'd be on the field for, and when he'd play, he'd mostly just be another guy running routes out there. Because that's where we are. 9 weeks in, I would have had him around 50 catches and 600 yards, you know, on the normal paces that he is on, or, you know, maybe that's too high. Maybe it's 40 catches and 500 yards or whatever. But he's McLaurin being McLaurin. Instead, he's got 13 catches and 203 yards. And he had the one huge catch that he got hurt on against the Raiders. And he's had one game outside of that one play where he's had a Terry-like impact. And that was the Chiefs game.
Yep.
It was a painful, frankly, reminder of what they're missing. It was excellent in real time. It was awesome to see the catch on the sideline no one else on the team can make. It was even better to see the catch in the end zone that three or four guys in the league make. But it was also painful to know, oh, this is the thing. This is the thing you don't have. Just like a little reminder of how good something tastes. You know what I'm saying? Like you quit smoking and you have that one cigarette or something. You're like, ah, I shouldn't have done that. Now I remember what it was, what it meant to me. But outside of the one catch against the Raiders and the one game against the Chiefs, the rest of this season, he's just kind of a guy who's been on the field for them from time to time. I did not have that in the office pool. Couldn't have been more wrong about how his season was going to go. That one is a little bit of a, you know, injury related, and that's not the way I want to go with the conversation. But when he's played, I think
hadn't been that impactful.
He's lacked the consistency that allows me to go with that one. So in the words of Dan Quinn, I missed it. And then I'll give you one more. The question we're asking here on Grant and Danny, what did you get most wrong about the 2025 Commanders so far? I thought their defense was going to be better than it was last year. Boy, was I wrong. I thought you go get Javon Kinlaw. Didn't love how much money he made, but whatever. He's going to be a presence for a team that can't stop the run. You go get better at corner. I just talked about being wrong about that. You bring in Will Harris at safety. Now, he got hurt, and that's why he hasn't helped. But this was my preseason kind of workshopping. Dorrance Armstrong finished so well end of last year into the playoffs. He's going to carry that over. Von Miller comes in here. He's going to help a ton. He's going to close games. You're going to be up three against the Bears, and he's going to get the big sack fumble. Look at the year-over-year 24 and 25 defenses. Last year, they were 16th, allowing 5.4 per play. This year, they're 30th, allowing 6.2 per play. Last year against the run, they were really, really bad, 28th, and that was where they invested all their energy, and they're up to 19th. It's been a very small upgrade. They've gone from like 4.7 per carry to 4.4, but I think a lot of that is the injuries to Wise and the edges now, yep. And the numbers are getting worse. But the plan was okay. That was the one area they fixed, but they thought that's what's important. Well, in the meantime, you took your eye off the ball in the secondary. You went from 6.49 per pass last year, which was actually good for 12th in the NFL, to dead last 32nd at 8.36 per passing play against this year. On third downs, they've gone from 15th to 21st. So I thought this defense was going to be better, and I thought wrong. And that is one of the many, many things that I got the most wrong. And to quote Dan Quinn, I missed it.
I had something similar about the defense. I didn't think it would be much improved. In fact, I thought it would be marginally improved. And, you know, just going against some better teams, you're not going to get that many Cooper rushes. You're not going to get that many, name that backup Billy that they got last year very fortuitously. You were going up against Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert and a bunch of guys that are pretty damn good. So I thought there'd be some regression. I never in my wildest dreams thought they'd be among the worst in the sport. I had issues. I'm going, I don't see this working that great. I think they'll be okay. Maybe they'll turn some people over every now and again. But maybe this run defense thing is a good strategy, et cetera. I didn't see a major jump up into the top half of the league, but I didn't see a disaster. Like, I never in my wildest years would I have a competent defensive mind in Dan Quinn, another competent defensive mind in Joe Witt, who the entire league liked. The entire league was yes, oh, Joe Witt, that's a good hire for them. That's awesome. Now I'm not so sure, but At that point, to have this in the second year where they could remake it in their own image. Not what they inherited. They inherited what they got last year, tried to put some band-aids on it with Bobby Wagner and throw some stuff at the wall like Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler, which worked, and Dorrance Armstrong, who they stumbled onto. Totally fine. This is what they envisioned. Now we got what we want here. No more John Allen. Let's go get Kinlaw. That's our dude. We're going to go get the guys that we want. And they've gotten worse in every area. They're worse everywhere. I can't believe it's this bad. I was wrong about that.
Gylo on Twitter, you can hit us up at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny, says, what I got the most wrong this season? I thought the additions of Tunsil, Bill, and Debo would mean that they would push for being the best offense in the sport, and they never even started to click. Also, the defense would be improved, and somehow they are much worse this year. That's the question for you guys. So I just gave you three answers that I thought long and hard about and came up with. I thought their corners would be better this year. Wrong. I thought their defense was going to be better than it was last year. Loud wrong. And I thought Terry McLaurin was going to be McLaurin even with the hold in. I didn't think it would be a major factor, and I guess there's no way to know that it was definitively a factor in these injuries, but it's been a disaster of a season, and I did not have that in the office pool.
I thought this offense would be proficient. I thought they'd still have explosive plays even without great personnel. Good enough. Last year they did it without superstars. And it's been terrible, especially over the last month. I thought Frankie Louvu would have a world-class impact off the edge and be among the league leaders in sacks and TFLs and a bunch of stuff. Hasn't happened. And then just generally on defense. I thought they'd be fine, okay. They are a disaster. I didn't see that coming. I was wrong.
What Commander's take coming into the year were you most wrong about? A surprising 3-6 record as Detroit comes to town this week. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Commanders are 3-6. They've lost 4 straight games. We're trying to figure out what we got wrong coming into this season. 800-636-1067. I thought the cornerback room would be better than last year by a long shot. It hasn't been. I guess bigger picture, I thought the defense would be better. It hasn't been. And I did not think Terry McLaurin's hold-in would lead to any problems, and it feels like it certainly did. You isolated on Frankie Louvu.
Yeah, so for similar stuff. Offensively, I just thought they'd be pretty good, even at a minimum. They're a disaster, especially these last several games.
I would have been disappointed. I think they've been pretty good, like, on the whole this season, the last month, definitely not. But it feels ultra-disappointing to that point. Like, if they were pretty good, which, in terms of all the rankings and everything over a full 9-week sample, that would feel like they're leaving a lot of meat on the bone. And pretty good with this offense after last year? Come on. They were elite. Remember, like, a month in, we're selling no punt t-shirts?
Yeah, plenty of punts t-shirt. Put it on, yeah, print it. Tressway gets a lot of work t-shirts. And defensively, I didn't think they'd be anywhere near this bad. But most specifically, Frankie Louvu, I thought removing some responsibilities there and saying, okay, unleash him, let him get downhill and rush the passer. I thought he'd be really dynamic, and he's, you know, I've been pretty disappointing in that regard.
Jordan Reed's going to be on the show today at 3, and at 4 o'clock, we're giving away Foo Fighters tickets on Grant and Danny, but let's take your calls on what you got most wrong coming into the season. We'll start with Dave and Tyson's on Grant and Danny. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Absolutely love the show.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I guess what I got wrong about this season is, I thought Jaden was of the, you know, cut from the cloth of a Mahomes Brady. Like, I thought he was, like, literally the next coming, and that he would continue to kind of mask all the different deficiencies in the game. And I also thought that we had the right architect. More so, I've called in and I've had a lot of skepticism about Peter's moves. And that just continues. It's like, what was the long-term vision of this. The fact that we cut corners in many ways, especially this offseason, moving the draft capital, like that's what really bothers me the most. I mean, we have 7 less picks over the next 2 years because of some of the moves that were made. And I totally understand, like, you have a young talent, you want to maximize the window, but we were in a very unique situation in terms of how we had no assets coming from the Ron Rivera era.
And you needed to restock the pantry, clearly. They miscalculated. I didn't hate the risk. I actually endorsed the risk.
Yes, same here.
Howie Roseman yesterday had a great quote when meeting with the media. He said, you can't win big if you don't take big risks. And they took a big risk. They pushed some chips in. They didn't go all in like people suggest that they did, but they went kind of in. And they built big for this season. They bet on this season rather than next year or the year after. And it didn't work out. So yeah, in hindsight, now becoming wisdom, you were right. Like, trading those picks for this year looks really bad, and you wish you had those picks. They made the fewest selections in the draft last year. They're going to make the fewest selections if nothing changes through 4 rounds this year. That's a really tough way to try to rebuild the roster, for sure.
Without a doubt. And again, people are now starting to go, how long are you going to blame Rivera and company? It's not blame, it's an explanation as to why they chose the tax that they did. Right, the path that Peters and company chose was, we could try to be a little bit more competitive to build that culture now, and they did that, and that it worked great. They went to the NFC title game and won 12 games, so
sure.
I understand doubling down. So that's why we're here, but now we need to react to the fact that we're here.
Right, but simultaneously, you can have two conversations, and I think people can say both that Rivera's drafts killed them, the Marty party is still hurting them. And also, you need to elevate your batting average moving forward.
Without a doubt.
If you're this regime on the draft, on free agency. I think Peters has largely done well on the big things. You know, the Tunsil trades, a win. There are a lot of those. There are a couple of big things, like the Lattimore trade, which, by the way, took place 1 year ago today.
Oh, how about it?
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, bud.
Thank you. That was an L. I would say there have been many more wins than L's, and that's why they got to the NFC Championship game last year still, but it's a batting average job. You're not hunting perfection. That's chasing a ghost. You're trying to hit 650, and you want that average to keep going up. You could spin two plates. Talk about that Ron left them very little, and also your 2 free agencies and 2 drafts in. You hit a couple more times, you'd be in a better spot. Let's go to Don in Ashburn. Hey, Don, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm going to go a little different direction and just say coaching, because for weeks and weeks, we just see the same mistakes, especially on the defense. I mean, guys just running completely wide open in the zone. It looks like many, many guys just don't understand where they're supposed to be, who they're supposed to have. And it's kind of, mind-boggling, the penalties. So coaching just seems to be definitely off and letting us down.
So interesting to say coaching in terms of what you got wrong. I'm going to use a Nats comp for a second. One of my annoyances this Nats baseball season, even with low expectations for a team that underachieved, was that they didn't seem to have fixes when things went badly. So when James Wood, who's a superstar, gets into a really bad funk, you can't get him out of it as a staff. Nobody can tell him, here's what you're doing, stop doing this. Hey, fix your swing this way. So we're just waiting for him to go to his guy, Coach G, in Olney or whatever, so that he can get his swing back together, right? That's what a coaching staff needs to be able to do. When Jake Irvin loses 2.3 miles per hour on his fastball, when Mackenzie Gore isn't throwing as many strikes and he's a tick off in his release or whatever, that's where I need Jim Hickey to say, hey, this is where you were releasing the ball from a month ago when you were carving up the Phillies. Now it's here. And I don't know if that was happening, but it certainly didn't feel like it on the outside. The same mistakes happen on defense every single week. The same problems with run fits. The same, linebacker jumping in the wrong gap stuff. The same miscommunications. How many times have we heard about that in the secondary?
Man.
At some point, you would just love this defensive-minded head coach who's had a bunch of top 5 defenses as a coordinator, and this defensive coordinator who he's handpicked, who we think is good at what he does, to be able to figure something out. Now, do I think it's completely unrealistic to ask them to put together a strong defensive performance against the Chiefs or the Lions or the Seahawks with this banged up group? I do. But there's a big departure from that in what they're putting on tape, which is four touchdowns on four drives and being down 28-0 midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, 282 and four touchdowns in the first half for Sam Darnold.
Zero incompletions.
So,
like, I need you to close that gap for me a little bit. That's a very reasonable ask.
Yeah, I understand you're not the Broncos. I get that. We're not the Legion of Boom here, but you can't be the worst.
Anybody calling for, you know, firings of Dan Quinn, of Joe Witt, I categorically disagree with that. I think that that's silly. You're too close removed from the year that they had last year. But some type of adjustment or change or Quinn doing some play calling or something seems like it's 2 weeks too late at this point. Let's go to Kevin, who's in Arlington. We're trying to figure out what we got the most wrong coming into the season. How are you, buddy?
What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. So mine's sort of related to that. Let me ask you a question first, and I'll lay it out. How do you like the job the Chicago Bears head coach is doing? How do you like the job the Seattle Seahawks head coach is doing? Those coaches were in potential contention before the 2023 season ended, and then we had Peters, and we, in other words, before they chose Quinn. Now, Quinn, great culture builder, but where I'm left with is what they got wrong is, and it goes back to what I was fearful of when we hired Quinn, is I am not sure he got his coordinators right. You guys just talked about the constant repetitive mistakes. These are young players who are not getting better. They're getting worse. And it's on both sides of the ball. And all of a sudden, the whole, you know, I mentioned this yesterday in a call. The Cliff, that's back in play, boys. And in fact, I'm almost hopeful that a college hires Cliff away because I just am seeing that he doesn't have any answers. Now, granted, personnel is part of it, but I want a Shanahan-type offense that I know works. I want defensive approaches that I know work. I see them happening around the NFL. When was the last time you saw a Commanders game and you said, my God, we thoroughly outcoached them? I can't tell you when it was.
Maybe the Giants. I mean, I definitely think they outcoached them in week one. The Raiders, they outcoached them. They dominated them. Also had better players, probably. I think that qualified as a Ben Johnson alert, didn't it, Derek?
Ben Johnson alert.
I think so.
Ben Johnson alert.
You'll allow that one, Dave.
Yeah, definitely, because you didn't do it, but
exactly.
But it happened, so like we have a corresponding alert.
My rhetorical question to Kevin, though, would be, did people feel that way about these coordinators a year ago? Like, Cliff Kingsbury had a hell of a season last year, did he not? Joe Witt's defense was middling last year, but they were top 12 against the pass. They had some answers. They didn't have all the answers. This year, they have zero answers. Why is that? Like, all of a sudden, Cliff Kingsbury's a bad coordinator? Now, I'm going to take him to task, and we'll probably talk more about this tomorrow. I do think that their offensive design right now is lacking. I think it made life hard on Jaden Daniels to be in a straight drop-back game to the extent that they were. I do think they need to be under center more. I think they need more play action. They've got to do more of the things that the good teams around the NFL do more often offensively to get their explosive plays. And if you have the players, maybe you don't have to, but right now, like this matchup with the Lions is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Paulson and I are going to dissect this on the new Take Command coming out tomorrow. But the Lions are going to play a lot of man coverage and basically say, beat our corners. And Washington right now does not have receivers that are consistently going to do that. You know that going into the game. What Cliff, in my opinion, has been doing is just kind of banging his head against the wall going, all right, we're still not going
to
motion.
Yeah, we should be able to do it.
We're not going to boot. We're not going to play action. We're not going to do any of this to kind of scheme it up. I'm not going to use stacks or bunches. I'm not going to get free releases Kyle Shanahan style. I'm just going to do my thing. Last year, it worked. Now it's not working. So to me, what coaching is adjusting, like figuring that out and doing the other thing. And this was one of the knocks in the past when, if you remember, like he'd have these first half of seasons. They called it the Cliff or whatever. But it's like, all right, your fastball's located for strikes and no one can hit it. Now they've timed it up. What are you changing up to at that point? And that was an in-season issue. Never came last year. This feels like it's happening this year, and now I'm waiting for the adjustment.
Yeah, we were asking the question, I think rightfully so, by the way, and everybody loved to slam dunk after adjustments were made. The point of asking the question last year, after it was the Philadelphia game on Thursday night where they couldn't do anything, Terry McLaurin, I think, was totally blanketed by, I'm blanking on the name of the Eagles corner, where he had one target through the first half and then ended up with a couple very, very minuscule contributions throughout the game. And we're going, Remember the whole Cliff conversation? Very reasonable to bring it up. What's going on here? Adjustments were made. McCorn didn't just trot out to the left side and get blanketed. They moved him around. He did a bunch of different things. That's all we were asking for. I want that again. I want a, you know what? Back to the drawing board. How can we improve? I understand you're not going to be the greatest show on turf. You don't have the horses here. But again, it can't be this. It can't be nothing against Kansas City in the first half. It can't be nothing at all against Seattle. No threats of any kind where everybody can. Dallas is the worst defense in the world. They were just shoving it on you. Run stuffing, covering your guys man-to-man. They had no fear of anything. You've got to strike fear into their hearts somehow.
What's the biggest surprising negative about this team this year? The thing you got the most wrong is what we're saying at 800-636-1067. A Dan Quinn style, quote-unquote, I missed it. What'd you miss? G&D on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contrast. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Jordan Reed, former Redskins tight end, stops by at 3. He's the executive producer of a pretty sweet documentary on athletes, how they train in their downtime. That looks really, really cool. We want to talk to him about that coming up in just a few. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan and a YouTube stream, and you can also listen on the Odyssey app. If you want to do that, check us out there. I got high-definition haircut going right now.
Yeah, good for you.
Sat down in the barber's chair yesterday over at Floyd's 99. So let's not have done that in vain. Let's make sure we check out the day two of the haircut, which everybody knows is better than day one.
There's a sweet spot, by the way, post-haircut. Maybe initially for me, because I get it cut so short, and I know that annoys you, but there's like a 4 or 5 day period where it's gotten a little chance to grow back.
Is it that long for you?
Yeah, where but it's after... I think the 4 or 5 day period is after maybe a week or 10 days where it's kind of that sweet spot where I go, all right, I don't hate it.
Well, if that's then why don't you get it cut shorter? I do get it cut really short. I know. Excuse me. Not as short is what I mean.
Because I need to go less often. It's a balance sheet, man.
Okay. So you just want to get haircuts less frequently.
Yeah.
But you like the look when it grows out a little
bit. Like when I go to like the grooming lounge, get like a nice fancy one. Like if I'm doing an event that night or something where I, you know, somebody wanted to see me.
Do you get a haircut before every stand-up session?
No, nothing like that. Like if it was a big, huge deal one, like it was on TV or something like that, I probably would.
If you did a special for Comedy Central.
Yeah, I'd go get grooming lounged up and the full shave, the full deal.
One of the things I love, this is like very athletes in the 1970s, is before we go on travel, Dad always gets a haircut and a shave. Now, this past trip, he didn't. And I was sitting next to him on the airplane. And every time he's ever traveled with the show, 6, 7 times, I just did it.
Thanks.
Good Lord. Now it's just happening more because it's in my head.
Did you see, by the way, as a quick side to derail your story, there's some meaningless, you know, D11 college game the other night, and there's a bunch of middle schoolers at the game, and the guy's shooting a free throw when they're at 66 points. The anticipation in the arena.
That's great.
You would have thought this is cutting down the banner. He hits the free throw to get it to 67 points, and these kids, I mean, it was like they discovered fire.
I looked over at Darius on the plane, though. I'm sitting right next to him. And I go, hey, man, I don't want you to think that I don't think you look good. Because I think you look great. You look wonderful.
Oh, no.
But I do notice that this is the first time ever. You always make it a point. You talk about, like, sometimes you have to leave the show the second it ends. And you're running to the barber. And it's always this very stressful thing for you. How dare I travel without this? I'm like, I noticed you didn't do it this time. And apparently it was a point of contention.
Oh, dude.
There was a lot of effort. It wasn't able to swing it. There was some car thing that was involved. So I felt bad about bringing it up.
It was very disappointing. It, like you said, every time I travel, I have to go with the freshest haircut possible.
I love that about you.
Couldn't make it work.
Why do you feel the need to do that?
I just want to look my best. I know we're going to take pictures and stuff. And
it's like that old school mentality where it's like, I'm going to the airport. I better get a suit on.
1,000%. Sunday best.
Never know. You could run into the love of my life.
It's a great point.
I look my best.
Okay.
Sometimes you could run into the love of your life on an airplane and do nothing about it.
It's totally possible. But at least I look good doing nothing about it.
That popped Clary a little bit over there.
He's just having a ball over here laughing.
Wait, I missed a bit. Did that happen?
The love of his life might be strong. There was a travel. I'm sure. There was a travel trip we did once. You know,
one time we journeyed.
Darius ended up sitting next to this person who was attractive and a listener, and I think recognized you.
She recognized you guys first.
Okay.
Oh. And then she recognized me.
And she was an attractive person who was like making conversation and being very sweet. And Clary's like, look at Dad over here. This is a thing. Like, let's go. And we're like, oh, this at the least he's coming away with a phone number. And then at the end, we're like, anything there, Dad? And he's like, well, what do you mean? What happened? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. Where are we going? Spring training?
I think we were coming back from spring training because that was also the flight that where we got like weirdly diverted from Reagan to Dulles.
Oh, God.
That was a whole shebangus.
We circled the airport for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Landed at 1:57. And then the plan was, never forget this, they were going to put us on buses after we landed at BWI to bus us to Reagan. So that we could get home. And eventually they were like, nah, we're not going to do that. We'll go to Reagan.
I was coming back from New Orleans. That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you had gotten a haircut and a beard shave.
I did.
You were looking good.
Yeah. Couldn't make it happen this time. I feel bad.
Next time, someone sits next to him. This is going to end a little differently, I think, Dad.
Because he'll have the proper shave and haircut situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Just you watch.
Right.
He'll be armed and ready.
I don't remember why we were talking about that. Oh, check us out on the YouTube stream.
Oh, yeah.
What did you get wrong about the Commanders? Mark's in Largo on G&D. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. You know, when I was sitting up here thinking, at first I thought it was the wide receivers, but I got to tell you, it's going back to my favorite person that everybody thinks I love to beat up, but I'm not really trying to beat him up. It's just something. But I do want to make a point. Hey, Grant, I want to ask you something, man. Remember that guy, the very first person Josh Harris hired, Chen?
Ken?
Eugene Chen, you mean?
Oh, Eugene Chen.
When did he leave?
So they got rid of him after Peters came in. He got his own R&D department.
Man, let me ask you guys something else too, man. Them not making moves yesterday. God forbid if they don't win another game this season, and they end the season 3-14.
Oh my God!
Some heads have got to roll.
Well, what if they win one and they're 4-13? Something probably should happen too.
I think I could say this with conviction. By the way, like I will put this in Sharpie. I will stamp this, Mark. I will bet you lunch. I'll take you to lunch if I'm wrong. If they lose every game the rest of the year, which they're not doing, for the record, 1,000% head will roll. Now, is that's not Dan Quinn. It shouldn't be. But do I think Joe Witt will be the defensive coordinator? Probably not. Something will happen where there are people who lose jobs. I promise you. There's not apathy over there. They're trying to figure this out. They also are only 9 games removed from having played in the NFC Championship game. Uh-huh. So I think they're given a little bit of...
a little bit of grace.
Grace here. But yes, if they... I mean, can you imagine?
Yes.
If they go 3-14, as you just said, there will be multiple people who get fired. I promise you.
Someone's losing something.
Let's go to Tony in Hagerstown, former home of the Suns, where Bryce Harper once played. Hello, Tony.
It's Tony.
Hey, boys. Hey, love the show. Hey. So I never realized how much I would miss Alamide Zaccheaus, De'Ami Brown, and Jamison Crowder. I mean, they had chemistry with Jaden. It's obvious that he doesn't have trust with these wide receivers. And, I mean, it's a huge drop-off going from someone like Oz to someone like Chris Moore. And also, the cornerback room coming into the season, I thought they were supposed to be good. I mean, these guys are running wide open to our secondary. My wife and I watched the game. 3rd and 8, we just know the opposing team is going to be running scot-free through our secondary. Watch these other games. There's contested catches, balls getting ripped away. We don't see that. Is that talent? Is that scheme? What is that? And real quick, then I'm going to hop off here. Hey, Gary, keep your eyes on the road while you're eating that quarter pounder with cheese, brother. Thanks, guys.
You got it.
Take that, Gary.
Gary, you eat your quarter pounder with cheese. It's the best item on the McDonald's menu, for the record. I like to get it no onions if I'm going somewhere where people are going to be really close to me.
That's smart.
But otherwise, I like the onions. I think they add something.
I was eating this homemade salsa the other day that was very oniony, and my wife complained. And I'm like, you know, it just makes it good.
Just a thought on the weapons from year ago to right now. Last year, when Jaden Daniels dropped back, among the guys he would throw to most frequently, McLaurin, Zaccheaus, De'Ami, Noah Brown, Jamison Crowder, Austin Ekeler. None of them have been available to him for the majority of this season. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.